Grace, peace, and love be yours from the God who so loves this world. Amen. When I was a kid, I had a friend, a neighbor boy named Alan. And Alan and I were inseparable. We would go on bike rides throughout town. We would go on hikes through the various hills in our neighborhood. And we would even do a few things like sledding in the winter. One day, Alan came to me and said, "I have a surprise." And he presented this package. And he says to me with glee in his eyes, "We're going to fly a kite." I had no idea what a kite was, much less to fly something. But he took out the kite from the box. And piece by piece, we instructed this kite. We got on our bikes and went down to the neighboring park. Alan, true to Alan's form, that kite was in the air flying long before mine was even finished. But at the park, when I started to try to fly my kite, I kept having mishap after mishap, crash after crash, tangle and topple after tangle and topple. I imagine that the disciples also experienced a series of mishaps, crashes, tangles and topples following Jesus' ascension. Jesus ascended. Now what? What were these last 3 years for? What about Jesus' teachings? Were they for nothing? And what's this business about this Holy Spirit thing? Wasn't it supposed to happen by now? Perhaps, maybe, this was one of Jesus' redirection, that he would suddenly appear among them and say something. I imagine that one of the disciples muttering something to himself along the lines of, "I did not sign up for this." But suddenly the scene changes, or rather the scene of despair is interrupted with a loud wind that fills the house. Dishes go flying, tunics flap, and curtains tear. Fire comes down, not to burn the place down, on the heads of those. Even before the disciples can gather themselves together, even before the disciples know what's going on, even before the disciples inhale, they begin to speak. The room is filled with a rich array of languages, many of which were not often heard in Jerusalem. Others, both out of bewilderment and familiarity. What a paradox. Those gathered outside the homes are both confused about what's going on and somehow yet comforted that the ones speaking are speaking their language, the language of their heart. One person tries rationalizing it, and I gotta admit, I love whenever someone tries to rationalize what God is doing or who God is in Scripture. Maybe there's a lesson in that for us. Not sure. But regardless, the person cries out that perhaps the disciples are drunk. Yet, some in the crowd ask the most important question. What does this mean? What does this mean? It means that God is pouring out God's Spirit. That God is not just pouring it anywhere either, but that God is pouring it to everyone, that the disciples and the crowd alike also contain the Spirit. Today, like that first Pentecost, God is pouring out God's Spirit on us. God's Spirit rests on all of us and fills us. We, like I did with that kite, try to control that Spirit. We can't sing too loud. We can't talk about Jesus too much outside of Sunday morning. Our understanding of God and God's complexities has to be limited to what we can comprehend. We are, after all, Lutherans. But Pentecost challenges that. God's living and breathing Spirit in us and on us challenges that. God challenges us to approach the Spirit's presence. God invites us to work with the Spirit, not to control it. attempts that day to get my kite off the ground, Alan came over in frustration. "You need to stop controlling the wind and the kite, Andy. Kite flying," he reminded me, "is about working with and trusting the wind." "Run," he said. "Run and lift the kite high into the air. Run, Andy, run. Faster. Now lift the kite up." As I was running, huffing and puffing out of breath, he says to me the word I did not want to hear, or rather the words, "Let go. Let the kite go. Trust the wind, but don't let go of the line." Suddenly before me, the kite spread its wings. The rainbow of colors filled the blue sky above me as it danced gently in the wind. "See," Alan said, coming up to me smiling. "It's beautiful," I said with tears in my eyes of happiness. "Andy, you learn to trust the wind." Pentecost is God's reminder to us that we are to trust God, that Jesus promises us of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit we get. God is living and breathing in all of us. We are to share that love that has so impacted our lives with the world. Not just those today that were gathered in that circle, but throughout the world. We are to sing loudly and share that love regularly. We are to trust and work with the Spirit as we soar to new heights and experience the world anew. Through all of it, the mishaps, the crashes, the tangles and the topples, God's Spirit speaks to us in the language of our heart. God says to us, "I love you. Let go, spread your wings, and fly." Amen.